indeed a pleasure to be here this morning. Tom Hansen, one of my neighbors around North Platte, and I kind of slid in here last night, and as we was coming up the street, we had an SUV spin right smack in front of us, and I saw the guy's eyes. They looked just like a deer in a headlight, but I'm afraid my eyes looked just exactly like that. But anyway, we did make it. It's a pleasure to be here, and the title to my talk today is Enhancing Natural Resources on a Working Ranch. And when Ivan called me here a couple months ago and asked me to do this, I certainly agreed to visit with you, and I think it was based upon our recognition as in winning the Environmental Stewardship Award here this last year. But in all honesty, I think that it's not so much based upon some of the things that we've done, but it was a recognition based upon our willingness to work with a number of diverse conservation groups to get some things done that we wanted to do on our ranch that we didn't really feel that we could afford to do by itself. But our ranch is located on the southern edge of the Sandhills. It's just inside McPherson County, clear on the south side. But as most of you know that this Nebraska Sandhills, they are about 19,600 square miles. It is the largest dune system in the Western Hemisphere. And the great thing about it is it does straddle the Ogallala Aquifer. And there is over 700 species of plants in the Sandhills. So it is a very diverse biodiversity, has a lot of biodiversity. And probably the best thing about the Sandhills is that cows do outnumber the people about 10 to 1. I was talking about the Ogallala Aquifer, and that encompasses about 1 billion acre feet of water. But in this time of drought, even the Ogallala Aquifer is showing some of the consequences of that drought. Our ranch is a little bit similar to that movie that would take place up in Montana called or A River Runs Through It, because on the south end of our ranch, the North Platte River runs through it. On the north edge of our ranch, Birdwood Creek runs through it. The old Mormon Trail used to run through our ranch, and as my banker says, all our profits run right through it, too. So it is a diverse location. But I think as ranchers, we need to tell our story. And I was reminded of this just a couple weeks ago when I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. as part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife National Cattlemen's Beef Association Walk the Mile in My Boots Exchange. And they called me up here 6 months ago and asked me if I'd take part in that exchange based upon being the recipient of the ESAP Award last year. And I said, well, sure, I'd love to take part in that exchange. And they asked me where I'd like to go. And I said, well, you know, I can really stay home and count ducks on our own ranch. So if I'm going to do this, I'd just as soon go to Steve Williams' office, who is the director of Fish and Wildlife in Washington, D.C. And they said, okay. And so 2 weeks ago, I went there. We spent about 2 days in Steve Williams' office and 1 day out at the training center for U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And that's a campus of about 500 acres where almost every employee of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife goes through that campus and can take various courses based upon whatever part of the job he handles. But we also had the opportunity to talk to or visit with or speak to several hundred U.S. Fish and Wildlife employees that were there at that time. And afterwards, I had a gal come up to me, and she said, now, you're a rancher, right? And I said, yes, I am. And she says, well, do you get to work outside all day long? And I said, well, on the good days, I get to do that. So there's such a misunderstanding now. And of course, we all know that people in the cities, they don't have a grandparent or a cousin that's probably working back at that ranch. So I think it's necessary for all of us to do a better job of telling what we do on our ranches and what we do for the environment to lay that ranch in better hands for the next go-around. So I think that we certainly need to be proud of our heritage also and recognize, too, that we have a social responsibility to those people in the cities to do a good job of taking care of that resource for them. And the good news is now that they're recognizing that they have a responsibility to help us do a better job. And that was certainly evident by this last year's Farm Bill. And I think it'll be increasingly evident in years to come, Farm Bill, and different other programs that come about. These are some tenets that I saw the other day in one of the cow-calf magazines or what have you, but they were by Barry Dunn, and Barry's probably here somewhere, but I haven't seen him. But I think it's good to review these once in a while, and that is to leave that land that has been placed in our care in better condition for the next generation, to take half and leave half of each year's pasture growth, and never graze the pasture at the same time 2 years in a row. And of course, that's the neat thing about some of the pasture rotations that we're involved in. And another thing that Barry Dunn says is calve to grass. And I think that Don Adams and Dick Clark have worked very hard to prove that at the Gudmundsen Research Center, that maybe we use a few less resources if we wait and calve towards green grass. And another thing to remember that I say is cows are lazy. And I know on our ranch we have the bottom dwellers and the top dwellers, and it seems like every time we'll go through our ranch we'll have cows up on the hill, some on the bottom. And my husband said to me one day, he said, "Why don't you just sell those darn cows that are always down here on those lowlands to never get up there?" And I wish I could. It just seems like we have too many reasons or excuses to sell the rest of the cattle. And the last, one of the last things that Barry Dunn says is we manage as a herd. And that means that we have to put some effort and work into doing a good job taking care of our natural resources. Another tool that I use is I initially started with an old Excel worksheet to monitor how many AMs that we're using off of each pasture. And so we would have one of these, it's kind of like the old PC cow card that the University of Nebraska first came out, and we used to have a card for each pasture. Well, now we'll have one of these for each one of our pastures in an Excel worksheet. And then the neat thing about it is at the year end, we can go down into the corner and do a score that individual pasture, and then take a good look at where we want to put that pasture into our rotation for the next year. This program is now available. It's kind of a much improved version of what I used to use, and it's available through the University of Nebraska. And Pat Reese, Jerry Valesky can hook you up with that. But another thing that we do on our ranch is we just kind of monitor the wildlife. And if we see that the wildlife are increasing in numbers, then we know that we are doing a good job. This is one of the graphs that I thought was a pretty neat graph that's part of the rancher's practicum. And I know that Pat Reese was an author of this graph, Walter Schock and Jerry Valesky. But basically, it's just, if you take a look, or if you can see the dotted line indicates the minimal level of cover needed to sustain grouse populations in the Nebraska Sandhills. And with that, if we utilize a pasture and want to leave some grass on that for next year's grouse nesting, which takes place in March and April, then we know that we need to be out of that pasture by probably the 1st of July the prior year. I think one of the opportunities that's available for us today and available for us in the future is Habitat for Dollars. And of course, many of us, or perhaps some of us, are now leasing out part of our ranches for hunting income. And I know last summer I was down to a meeting in Texas, and there was about 20 ranches represented. I think there may have been two ranches from Nebraska there, and the rest were like from Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. And one of the questions was, how many of you ranches derive some income from a ranching enterprise? And I think the only two ranches there that did not have income from hunting was the two Nebraska ranches. But I think the time is changing. Just this year, our neighboring ranch rented out to hunting outfitters, and I think they had about a 10,000-acre ranch and were paid $1 an acre. So that's pretty good income for maybe saving some habitat for wildlife. Another very controversial item here this last year has been the prairie dogs. And we, like probably many of you, have some prairie dogs on our ranch, and I've been as guilty as everybody else in that we at least fed them every year or tried to maintain numbers on them. But I had a friend from U.S. Fish and Wildlife tell me the other day, he said, Mike, whatever you do, I don't think I'd totally eliminate those prairie dogs from your ranch, because in the future, they may be additional points for perhaps getting a program similar to EQIP or something like that down the road. So his suggestion to me was leave a few of them around for seed. But in all honesty, if you take a look at the prairie dogs, what the environmentalists are telling us is that they're only about 90, that they have lost about 97 to 98% of the habitat that they at one time had. But I think the ranchers and conservationists do share common ground. You know, we both need, or the conservationists desire open space. We as ranchers desire open space to run those cows. And I think that we need to recognize that ranching plays a role in maintaining natural diversity. And I think a lot of the more conservative conservation organizations recognize that ranchers and cattle can be a conservation tool for achieving the goals that they want to achieve. Some of the conservation practices that we've been involved in, we do have part of our ranch that has a conservation easement on it. It does not affect our ranching operation in any way, shape, or form. The only thing it does affect is that somebody, if I should sell it, it's not going to go into a Walmart distribution center. It's not going to go into home development. It can be developed into two or three home sites, but not broken into a number of home sites. We do practice rotational grazing. We have worked very closely with the NRCS and Jeff Nichols from North Platte in developing a rotational grazing system. And it's probably really saved us in this drought. And I know that we haven't suffered the drought near what the people in this area have, but it certainly has helped us. We have done some riparian fencing along the river and the creeks that run through our ranch, and most of those areas we now use it for non-dormant season grazing during the winter time. It just seems like it has less of an impact on those areas during the winter than they do in the summer. Plus, the flies and the bugs aren't near as bad aren't existent during the summer or winter. We've also put in alternative watering locations. Tried to put in some windmills and tanks up in the highlands to try to draw those cattle of the spring out of those creeks and rivers and that kind of thing. We have developed certainly a multi-pasture rest rotation grazing system where we'll run maximum cows that we'll run together is about 400 in a rotational group. Yearlings, about as many as I want to rotate together, would be about 500. One of the other things that we did on our ranch on the Birdwood Creek that ran through it is we put what we call a Texas crossing in it, or I think my son calls it a boat ramp. And basically, it's just a ribbon of concrete that runs underneath the creek clear through there. And mainly, it allows us to drive our vehicles through the creek without getting stuck. But the thing that's really amazed me is that the cows really use that a lot now, and whereas this area used to be mostly sand, they just used that ribbon of concrete for watering or for a crossing location, so that has worked well. Another thing that we do on the meadows along the North Platte River now is we're into a hay graze rest rotation program where we'll, for example, this meadow right here, we had about 500 head of yearling heifers on this till about June 20th. And then we took those heifers off there, and this was the standing forage that we had probably a month ago. Now we have a couple hundred cows in there eating that down, but this next year that meadow will be in a hay rotation. So we are giving it a rest every other year. Some of the conservation partners that we've worked with is the Nature Conservancy. The Sandhill Task Force, I'm on the board of directors, and I know A.B. Cox is on the board. And what we're doing on the Sandhill Task Force is acting as kind of a middleman between the rancher and the available funds for conservation programs on the other side. And I'll get into that in a minute. But, the NRCS, we've used them as a partner over the years. The Grazing Land Coalition and the Twin Platte Natural Resource District, and the Nebraska Environmental Trust Fund has been a partner with the Nature Conservancy and the Sand Hill Task Force on some cost share projects on our ranch. So what are some of the benefits that we derive from working with those ranchers? I think it certainly improved the range condition and riparian areas on our ranch. I think it's increased the sustainability, of course, during the drought. We've been able to increase stocking rates, you know, not near as much as what we'd like to in this drought, but I think if we ever get back to normal weather, that'll help also. But we certainly increased wildlife habitat also. I mentioned the Sand Hill Task Force, and what it is, it's a nonprofit corporation focused on ranching, wildlife, and the Sand Hills. And it has a management board consists of ranchers. I think there's about 8 ranchers and 6 people from Nebraska Game Parks. There is one individual from the Nature Conservancy, another person from the university. And so we have kind of a diverse board. But we've really done some nice projects here the last year, I think totaling close to $200,000. And some of the projects that we like to do is some projects such as this where we have down cutting of streams in the Sand Hills and go in there and put in maybe some tiling and block that water and make, which not only helps the wetland for wildlife, but it also helps that ranch too. This would be another wetland restoration project. One of my neighbors just across the hill there and really made a nice wetland, him out of a spring or a seep coming out of the side of a hill there. This was one of the projects that was funded by the Sand Hills Task Force, and Dr. Larkin Powell was the chief investigator on this project. And what he did is he wanted to analyze 3 different ranches, 3 different grazing systems, from a season-long grazing system to a middle-of-the-road grazing system to a short-duration grazing system, and monitor the number of birds that could be counted on that specific grazing location during certain times of the summer, and compare those to the different grazing systems. But the interesting thing, or part of that study that came out, this was the year 2 of year 3, is of the roughly 53 grassland birds that they counted, there was almost equal numbers of birds that liked different types of grazing systems. And that's exactly what I think that we as ranchers need to be telling the conservationists, is that we are good for biodiversity. Biodiversity, different birds like different types of habitats, and that study proved that. But I think the final message that I want to leave with you today is that there's the opportunity exists today to work with rather than against governmental and environmental agencies and organizations. And before I go, I want to plug three groups or 3 organizations or 3 functions, and one would be the Nebraska Ranch Practicum. I know I participated in the program here a couple years ago. It was an excellent learning opportunity for me, and I probably need to go back through the program again. So I'd sure suggest that to you, and Dick Clark or Don Adams or Jerry Valesky, any one of those guys can help you get signed up here for this next year. Another program that I thought was an excellent opportunity for me was the Walk a Mile in My Boots program with the exchange with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And I think that we need to educate our city brethren, and especially the people in power, such as U.S. Fish and Wildlife, that we are doing a good job on that ranch, and we are taking care of the wildlife and basically just leave us alone. But another opportunity, I think, especially for those the young people just starting out or the people just getting into the business, would be through the Nebraska Grazing Lands Coalition. And they've set up a mentor program of which you can contact this mentor and you can go see him on his operation, see how he does things, and just visit with him and help maybe hopefully take away some of the mistakes that you might do as if you're a beginner. So I have some of those brochures over here on the right-hand side over here on the table if any of you would like to pick those up. So with that, I think I'll say thank you and conclude.